Wait. We are recording.
Das. Yeah. Sobe. Yeah. Sobe das, yeah.
I don't even think we welcome him. I think that we're in the middle of a conversation.
Sorry.
And then we welcome
him. Yeah. Let's for those listening, you haven't missed anything.
Right.
We were in a conversation, and OC, being the genius he is, said, why are we not recording?
It should be recording.
And we're just going to continue this conversation, and then we will
do the intro.
Yeah.
So,
first of all, what are we talking about?
It's Ryan Gosling, and he is Ken, and I forget the lady's name, really good actress.
Yeah.
She's
going to play Barbie.
She's going to be Barbie.
So a new movie coming out is about Ken and Barbie.
Ken and Barbie. And as I'm looking at this, J-Bell, I said, they don't have any more ideas. They have no more ideas.
Yeah.
They just keep on. What is this? Oh, Margot Robbie. That's the name.
Yeah.
There's just no more ideas.
Yeah.
If you look at what's on TV, if you look at what's coming out.
Yeah.
It's nonsense, man.
Yes.
They have no more ideas. Is it because there's too much they're just trying to put stuff out there because they have to? There's no more ideas. They have literally run out of ideas. They've run out of ideas. And so they have to feed us nonsense like Ryan Gosling as Ken and Margot Robbie is Barbie. What is this?
So this time, the genesis of this conversation was, we were talking about different nations and nation building and things of that. And then we just talked about, I backed into it saying, you know, I spend time with my daughter trying to educate her on different countries and their history. So I was saying, I was watching a documentary that was hosted by a professor from Harvard on the beginning of the human race coming from Africa, you know, connecting the dots. And there's just an appetite, OC, for these stories of history, especially with all this misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is always going to be a strong emphasis on films as far as history is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to sit down and read something that takes hours, but they'll watch a movie, a documentary that's based on history, and they come out educated with a little more understanding. There's so many stories that could be written around the world that haven't been emphasized on certain countries. Mm. And I believe that is our central to our problem and our misunderstanding, is that what is our true exposure to all these places? What do we know? We spend a lot of time trying to know, but what do people really know about other places, other people, and the history, and why they think the way they do now? What do they really know? People need to ask themselves, what do you really know about your neighbor and where they're from? How much do you really know? The movie industry has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. Okay. This is very good. So okay. So now, along those lines, right? What is the one thing that we always say, right? We're always like, we got to give the people what
you
they
got.
Right? Isn't that what we always
we
say?
We always say it. And
you,
sometimes,
we got to give the people what
sometimes
they
I'm very scared of it, but
right.
Yes.
So if that's the case,
right,
and we go about our lives giving the people what we think they want,
okay,
right,
okay,
maybe the reason why Hollywood,
oh, I agree with this, and you haven't even finished,
right?
Keep going, say it.
Maybe the reason why Hollywood decides they're going to give you,
it's because that's what you want.
That's what we want.
That is what we, yes, absolutely.
That's what we want nonsense.
They're in the profit-making business. This isn't charity. They're not going to, there are certain things they force feed you, but other things they give you because you want it. That being said, though, OC, I think that there are things historically, narratives that they're constantly promoting that they want out there. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it. And I think that there's an appetite, and you see that by all of these platforms, of people that want these historical stories. I just think that there is definitely an appetite, and I think that if more of those were out there and easy to find, it would change the way people understood each other. If you look at the books, if you look at, I love audiobooks, but I spent a lot of time trying to learn and read books of Africa. You know how easy it is for me to find any history book based on European history.
Mm-hmm.
It's the amount of stuff I've read, because it's there.
Yeah.
When it comes to African history,
yeah,
bro, it's a battle.
Okay. Okay, good. Good.
It's tough.
Good. Good. So now, I think that now we're going deep. Right. Hold on, Jay. Hold on. Now we're going deep. And you are highly intelligent, right? Highly educated, right?
I don't know how.
There's something.
Shout out to Jerry Bell for paying for all that school.
There's something in you that makes you curious about that, right? I don't think a lot of us are like that. I don't think a lot of us are naturally curious about Africa. And I say us because I'm including myself in, even though I'm African, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, when I came to America, mm-hmm. right, from Africa, there just wasn't that interest. There wasn't that level of, I wonder what's going on there. Like, I wonder, where am I really from?
Right. You
right?
Didn't see, yes. Yep.
There really was none of that.
Yeah.
It was almost like you being from Africa, right, was like a bad thing.
Right.
Like you were insulted.
Is that the narrative we were fed and that's what we believe because that's what we were fed? Or it just in our subconscious?
It's there, right?
Okay.
And so now, okay, so in order for you to learn a story about Africa that people got really excited on, mm-hmm. it was a fictional. It was Black Panther.
Right.
True. It was, this fictional hypothetical place of mm-hmm. massive power and wealth and vibranium and all. Mm-hmm. That's what they had to give you mm-hmm. in order for the black people to mobilize around an idea. They had to give you something like that.
Yes.
Because the traditional stories told about Africa,
right,
haven't led people to believe that this is what the place is like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's they're not giving us that because, quite frankly, most people aren't interested in it. And this is the problem.
Okay. What was the man's name, the richest, basically, person
Musa.
In history? How do you say it?
Musa Mensah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I remember reading about him.
Yeah.
And reading about how he traveled the world,
yeah.
right? And throughout everywhere, and people seeing the riches of this man. I mean, his entourage was unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, he was running out of gold. They were going back to get some. Right. They were, you know. Where's the movie on that?
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
And I think, I mean, I know we're focusing on Africa because I spent a lot of time digging into it, trying to understand it, and I ask you so many questions. But think about history of the world everywhere and understanding why they're in the predicament they are mm-hmm. and why they think like they do. There needs to be more written. There needs to be more exposure to those stories. Are they truly that? Because that is what allows us to understand each other. I'm going to go off topic, and I want you to go with your thought. I'm studying unions throughout history, like unionization. And one thing in America, when unions were prevalent. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I need you for that. Race relations were manageable because you both worked for this company, and no matter what you looked like, you learned about each other because it was a bigger purpose, right? We're trying to make a life better for ourselves. So you had these union clubs, you know, you hung out, you figured each other out. It was that exposure. Now I believe it's on us to expose ourselves to other people's culture. It's so important.
Yeah. You know, as we were speaking, I got really sad.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. It's because I understood. When you said that thing about Mensa Musa, mm-hmm. right? I understand, like it hit me, why these stories aren't told. And it's because
excellent.
It has ended. No, it has ended in tragedy.
Oh.
It has ended in tragedy. Right? Uh-huh. It has ended in tragedy. And that's why. Because there's no realistic triumph at the end.
Okay.
Which is why, you know, the Black Panther was hypothetical. It was fictional, right?
Yep,
but there was a triumph at the
end,
right?
There was, yep.
So when you're telling these stories about people like that and things that have happened, at the end of the day, we were enslaved.
Right.
It got to a point where we crashed and we were enslaved, right? So it has ended in in disaster.
Yeah. But a lot of stories do.
Yeah,
you still tell them.
Yeah, for sure. But like if you're telling the story of America, like America was like it was a horrible place before, right? Right? It was horrible. And you're telling the stories of Europe and France and all these places were like they were horrible. They were war zones. They were like the worst places on earth, right? Mm. But you tell the story now, and because you're able to see what has happened, and you see these nations, you know, triumphant, and you see them excelling.
Right. You can tell that story.
You can tell that story. Mm. But you can't really tell ours because there has been no, like, we're still at the bottom.
Mm. Mm. That's the story, though. Why?
Right.
And understanding that. I think that even understanding that makes people recognize how they need to behave in a societal structure because they can see the pitfalls of decisions they make.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you learn, right? I mean, we watch tape in football to learn from the history of what has happened, what works, what doesn't, right? We're constantly evaluating ourselves. And I think we're constantly evaluating our friends, our foes, our opponents, whatever. Even a guy you play against, you're evaluating to see what they do well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine we spent that time evaluating other people and trying to see why they see the world the way they do. I just think we use that philosophy in so many other things when it comes to profitability and profit making. But when it comes to people, we don't do that.
Yeah.
And the most important thing in society is our relationship with other people. But yet we do not invest the way we invest in something that comes with a numerical value.
Yeah.
Like at that point, we do exactly what we need to do to get the best and extract the money out of whatever product it is.
Mm.
But when it comes to people, we don't. And that right there is the killer.
You know, I was speaking to my brother. This was maybe about a year ago. My older brother, mm-hmm. Oak Trey. Shout out to Oak Trey. And we were speaking about this. It was a school that he had showed me that was in Nigeria. And it was like underwater, basically,
jeez.
Right? And we were just discussing, because he's in Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
and we were discussing all the problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my head was just hurting, bro. Like my head was hurting, right?
Just thinking about it.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, what are we gonna do? How do we? I just had no answers. And he said something to me that I found fascinating. He said, you know what? Maybe it's just not our time. Right? That's what he was like, you know, maybe it's just not our time. He was like, maybe there was a time before when it was.
Yep.
And if you look at how history is, mm-hmm. everything is like up and down, up
cyclical.
And down, and up
yep.
and down, and up and.
Yep.
He was like, maybe we just landed in a moment of time when it's just not our time.
Yeah.
And he was like, who knows, 100, 200, 300 years from now?
Yes.
Things could be completely different
than
the way they are right now. Maybe
True.
It's just not our time.
True.
And I was like,
When you look at TJ, I mean, your son, you gotta think that the way he is, the way he sees the world, the way his world works.
Yep.
You have to look at it and go, huh, this is different. This is good. There's a lot of positivity to this.
If you look at the demographics of Africa, right? If you look at everything that's going on right now, right? Youth, the population, supposed to be by far the greatest population in the world is going to be concentrated in. Everything is pointing towards there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
So.
I don't know.
Something, just my brain just thought of something. When I first started traveling outside of the country, when I was playing, I started spending time. It was amazing how much people spoke to me about American politics.
Mm-hmm.
About who our president was, about what they had done. Can you believe this? I can't, like, engage conversations. And guess what, OC?
Mm.
I couldn't tell them who their president, prime minister.
Nothing.
I'm in their country.
You're in their country.
I don't know nothing.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know why? I'm interested, but I didn't care.
Yep.
And that said a lot. Because I'm in America, and I thought the world, just everything.
Was America, yeah.
And I was missing so much. I think that's why I'm over here. Now, at that point in time, my life shifted. I remember it clear as day. And a friend of mine one time said this in America. He was from another country. And he said he had started a successful business. He says, you know, one of the problems I face is that, you know, people are mad because I understand their country more than them.
Mm.
I understand business here, but I studied it for 5 years, 10 years before I came over. I can understand how it all works. And I'm like, yeah. How much time do we really spend trying to understand how something else works? Even if we care about it, like let's go out there and do it. And I say that because you've always challenged me to look at the other side. I got a book the other day that is completely how I don't think in life, and I'm gonna read the whole thing because I want to hear it.
Yep.
I just want to hear it. Like, let me understand why you think like this. We don't challenge ourselves enough. We don't challenge our own biases.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even address them. We don't even know what they are. We hide from them. Like, we all know we are not the center of the universe. And there's all these universes. There's all these collective ways of thinking. And we can't be humble enough to even think and approach it in a way where we know there's other opinions. Yeah. Like, we're like that, or other things that matter. Like, we don't have to understand it all. But we got to understand we don't understand it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it ties into what we were saying about the movies. I mean, it's just like, where are those stories? and is it because we don't understand them, or the people that are in charge don't understand them, so they don't want to put it out there? Because they're fearful? Because the learning curve might be hard? I don't know.
Yeah.
But we're all paying for it.
Yeah.
In a negative way, because this lack of understanding is causing so many other problems.
Yeah.
That could be alleviated.
Mm. You remember remember when you came to my house,
mm-hmm.
right? Remember when you came to my house? This is
wow.
Okay. You came to my house, right? Mm-hmm. My other brother was there.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting We were watching a game.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah, it was the reason. Yeah, yeah. We were watching a game.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he's writing. He wants to write scripts.
Yes.
You remember?
Yeah, yeah. We were watching the game then.
Mm-hmm. Watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what we said he should be writing about? Don't say what he. Do you remember when we were like, there was something you came to me and you told me. You were like, this is interesting. This is what I want to know about.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, 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 yes.
Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
You remember the argument we got in with my own brother?
No. I do.
Do you remember that?
I do.
With my own brother.
I know. I do. I love your brother, man.
I mean, of course we do, right? He's like, you know, I want to write about something going on in America.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I want to know about.
Yeah, I want to know that story.
I want to know this story.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thinking. This is the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If, right, we can get my own brother.
Right. Oh, right.
Who's a talented individual, talented
yeah.
screenwriter,
yeah.
to write about something that he has intimate knowledge of.
The most, that's who we need to talk to.
Right?
Right.
But instead, he wants to write something that he knows will be more palatable
sell, yeah.
and would sell.
See, how? You just shifted the narrative. See, this is what I love about these conversations. Because we equally place blame.
Yeah, we do. You don't blame it on no. Everybody. We're all responsible for this.
Because what you're saying is, the people that can deliver that, can supply that deliverable, might not go that direction because they're like, what is scalable and saleable?
Period. And so now we revert back to square one.
Yeah.
And they making Ken and Barbie. Right? You know what I mean? They're making Ken and Barbie.
Bro. Yeah.
NFL? Yeah?
Yeah. With that, welcome to the Jason and Hosey podcast.
Ain't that something?
All we did was basically, for the first time since probably we started this podcast, is show you what we do before the mics come on.
Yep.
That is a conversation you and I would have had before the mics come on, and then we would have said, okay, time for the podcast. And then we would have continued off of the best of that and in other things. But that was something where I didn't even
That's
know.
Funny.
Yeah. I didn't even know where we were going. But it just.
He was like, at the end, we're like.
We're like.
Well.
You ready? Ready for the podcast?
We just handed out blame on both sides.
But you know, this is, if you want to understand anything.
Yeah.
Or anybody. You gotta follow the evidence,
yeah.
or whatever evidence or pathway you can figure out while you're trying to decipher this stuff.
Yep.
Like, you can't say, ooh, that's going left. Let me just stop now. That's what people do.
Yeah.
People don't go, where is the problem? Where is the bottleneck?
You gotta go where
they
it
don't want to go there.
you go
stop
where it
there.
Leads.
You know, it's, and I understand why. It's uncomfortable. You don't have the answers. We didn't have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
We just discussing to the point where it's like, all right, now let's start digging in there and see what we can come up with. Gosh, I wish some of these NFL coaches did that. That being said, man, that was a good conversation, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm really
interesting.
That was interesting. I'm thinking differently about some things, man. I came in that conversation thinking one way, and I'm leaving thinking another. I need some time, man. I need some time.
But let me ask you, isn't it fascinating to see people's minds working in real time?
Yeah, it is.
I love it.
It is fun. It's fun not to know the answer and have to dig and try to just kind of connect things. Thoughts, like you'll say something and something I haven't thought about, I've read.
Mm.
And it's not even, it just comes out of nowhere and it's like, bink. And it starts to connect all those fibers. And I'm like, oh.
Yep.
I remember when I started first reading about, you know, really digging into what's happening in the continent of Africa. And I'd just be like, you'd say something, I'd be like, oh, it just gets so excited. Yep. Like, oh, that's what that means.
Connects.
It's crazy. Amazing. Anyways, I got something I want to ask you.
Okay.
About the NFL. I don't know what you think, but you know I've been riding with the Rams.
Yep.
I'm riding from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I haven't wanted to talk about them because I don't want to, you know, jinx myself.
Mm-hmm.
This Von Miller trade
yeah.
from the Denver Broncos
yeah.
as a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who knows how it works intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Him, Aaron Donald, Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Can this work?
Yeah.
He's got to get healthy.
Yeah. I think that if he is healthy, mm-hmm. if he is healthy, and that's a big if.
Yeah.
Because he's had a couple of injuries.
Yeah.
But if he is healthy, it's probably the greatest collection of talents we've probably ever seen.
On the defensive line?
On the defensive line. I can't recall.
Ooh.
I can't recall a time when that has happened before. Right? I can't. Like, when I think about it, because to me, from an interior standpoint, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
You have Aaron Donald, who's all-time, if not number one, number two.
Best non-quarterback and best player in football to me.
We could say that, right? And then from a edge rushing standpoint, Leonard Floyd, he's a good edge rusher.
Yeah.
He's a good edge rusher. Yeah. But Von Miller's a different – he's a different level.
Different beast.
Right?
And he shows up and plays, you know?
He's a different level mm-hmm. of edge rusher, mm-hmm. right? Even when he's not getting sacks, he's just wreaking havoc, right? Like, he's one of the guys who I watch, and I'm like,
ooh.
it's different. There are people who put up numbers, mm-hmm. right, as pass rushers that I don't respect their game.
Yeah, I've heard you say it.
There's people who I look at them, and I'm like, he might not have 20 sacks. He might have 10.
But he's bringing
that.
But he
is wreaking havoc off that edge, right?
I know what you mean. And you do. You say it all the time.
All the time.
I'm like, oh, he's balling. You're like, look at the tape.
Nah. Right?
You do. That's
so
true.
When I look at a Von Miller off the edge, mm-hmm. and I look at a Aaron Donald, an interior pass rusher the way he is, mm-hmm. and a Leonard Floyd on the other side, I don't see how you block those people.
Right.
I don't see how you do it.
Right.
And then you couple that with the fact that they have the best corner in football.
Yeah.
Right?
They're moving around Jalen Ramsey and doing things that he's being used in a different way this year, right. which I love.
So all they're trying to do is buy a split second for that rush to get home. And if you have the DBs to do that, mm-hmm. how do you propose to block these people? What is your answer to that? You can only go quick game, right?
Right.
You can go max protect.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You can keep people in the block.
Yep.
You can slide your protection one way. You slide one way, you're going to be in trouble on the other side.
It's too many things you got to think about.
It's just too much. So
ooh.
When you put all these things together, and like I said, it's a big if.
Yeah.
If Von Miller is healthy.
But I think from what you're saying, you only need him healthy for a couple of strong playoff games.
You can't. There's nothing you can do.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
If they're putting up points, if the Rams are scoring points.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which apparently they know how to do quite well. Right? And you're in a position where you have to score to catch up. You can't just run the ball down their throats. You got to sit there. You got to pass.
No. You ain't catching up.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Can't do it. We played, it was 07, yeah. right? Where we had people say, arguably, this is the best defensive line.
Yeah, that's who it's talked
ever,
about
right?
every time.
Right.
Can they duplicate that defensive line?
Can they duplicate that? Right.
You were on.
We did that, right? It was Strahan, it was myself, it was Justin Tuck, it was Barry Cofield, mm-hmm. it was Fred Robbins, yep. Kiwanuka, Dave Todd. Like, we had some very good players,
yep.
right? But I don't think we had anybody. These are two, I'm talking about elite. These are Hall of Fame players.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
These two,
yeah.
they're Hall of Fame players.
Right.
And they have the offense to put them in position, whereas they're just rushing all the time. We weren't rushing all the
time.
No,
because
offensively.
You were balanced. You were more balanced.
Exactly. Offensively, we weren't scoring
no.
a bunch of points. It was a dogfight.
Every game was a dogfight.
Right?
So you had to play.
We had to play the run. We had to do all of that.
Yeah.
But now you're playing a team.
You're playing that NASCAR. Go get them.
The whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, true. If you can.
Pass the first quarter.
If Sean McVay knows, just light it up and let these boys go to work.
I got to give this team a 10-point lead.
Jeez.
Because that's really what you need. You don't want 21 points.
No.
You want like a 10-point lead.
Yep. And
right?
then keep your possessions.
Give this team a 10-point lead. They are going to wreck shop. It's going to be a long day for whoever is playing against them. The Cowboys, the Bucks, you name it.
That was the three top. Tampa,
you name it, Jason.
And the Rams to me.
You are in trouble.
You're in trouble. I don't know if that works and he is healthy.
Yeah.
They could give the Cowboys fits. As many weapons as they have, I mean, they can give them fits. They would.
They See, they can?
They
what
would,
do you mean by they can?
They will. They will. They will.
That's no,
they will.
You don't have no answer for that.
Yeah, true.
The Cowboys have a good offensive line. They do. But you do not have an answer
for
Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd.
You're right. One thing I'm thinking about, if this works, if this works, no other team disrespects draft picks like the Rams.
That's crazy.
They use them as bargaining chips, resources to trade to get proven commodity players, right? We've been taught in the league, you draft, you build your team. You think that's stupid?
What we've been taught, stupid.
Okay. So, but it takes somebody to show the other way is successful.
Yeah.
So if they win a Super Bowl like this, are people going to think and use draft picks in a way that really hasn't happened before?
I think
most people cherish them.
Yeah, they do cherish them, and I think that it's dumb.
Okay.
And the only reason why I say it's dumb is because from everything that I know about draft picks, there's a much higher likelihood that you're not going to succeed than you are. That's think about true. All the first round picks.
Yep.
How many of them actually mature into Pro Bowl type players?
Small percentage.
Very small percentage. Yeah. So now you're cherishing and holding on to these picks who 1 out of 10 may go on to be a special player.
Right.
Whereas these guys already have identified these guys as special players. Mm-hmm. These guys have succeeded in the league. So if I'm going to trade away something that may for something that is, mm-hmm. I'm going to do that every single time. Mm-hmm. Especially if I'm trying to win. Mm-hmm. Am I going to mortgage my future? Probably. You know what I mean?
We always got to visit the other side of the coin.
Probably.
Right.
But I mean, you don't know.
It really is a one-year season when you think about all this, though.
Everything is a one-year season.
It really is.
You want to accumulate draft picks and then they fire you?
Yeah.
Who did you accumulate them for?
I know. It truly is a one. Everybody's operating. The players are all operating from the standpoint that it's this year.
Yep. If they want you, they can pay you.
Yeah.
They can get you whatever it is that you want. The salary cap is just what they use as an excuse.
Yeah.
Because if they pay you cash, which a lot of these owners have,
it
doesn't count.
With your bonus.
With your bonus, it doesn't count as.
That's coming out of their pocket.
Yeah, it's coming out of their pocket. Yeah. So if they want it bad enough, they're going to go get it.
And that seems to be what the Rams are doing.
They want it bad.
They're like,
bad.
We need, if we, every year, when they need a player, they go get them.
Yeah. They don't even think about it.
They go get him. They go get him. We're close.
Yeah.
Because it's all about this year.
Yeah. They're behaving like billionaires. That's really what they're behaving. That's their behavior.
Yeah.
They're behaving like.
I want to win.
I want to win.
And
I have the money to do
it.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And if the people that I have hired to run this operation tell me we need this to make this step.
Yep. I'm gonna buy it.
So like Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, I mean, they've given him everything?
Yeah. He has no excuse. Zero.
He has none.
Whatever he wants, right?
Yeah.
They have it's like Jeff Bezos' kid, right? You know what I mean? It's like Jeff Bezos' kid. Like you, what is your excuse? You have no excuse.
What do you want?
What do you want? You want this? Here. You want this? Here. You want this? Here you go. Yeah. What do you want? You want a estate?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You want a jet? You got it.
It's here.
Anything you want.
No excuse.
Franchise quarterback, franchise D line, franchise corners. The best stadium.
The best stadium.
Everything you want, you have. You have no excuse to fail. Zero.
Do you also think that there's a very elaborate approach to this because the understanding that you're in L.A., you got this new stadium.
Oh, for sure.
You got to feel – I mean, you got to – the Chargers games and the Rams games, oh, they look different.
Yeah, for sure.
They look different.
It's different.
If this works, man,
yeah.
I think it's going to be different how we look at team building.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be different.
You know what I would have liked to see, though, honestly, now that I think about it? Because there's a team that left California that has – like, I would have loved to see the Raiders.
Oh, jeez.
Right? Can you imagine, like, the Raiders – I'm not talking about the Vegas Raiders either.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like
the old school
Oakland Raiders doing things like this.
Oh my goodness. Their fan base is so loyal.
Their fan base deserves that.
Yeah, they do.
They deserve that.
Yeah. I feel like their fan base does a good job in Vegas because they travel and they'll go down there and they're kind of used to it. They're used to working
around
the West Coast, you know, kind of just we'll go where you are kind of thing.
But I appreciate their fan base.
I do too.
I do. They go hard.
I've playing there. The things they say to you, you just gotta laugh.
Yeah,
they're so.
They're passionate, man.
They are passionate. You're like they are dogging me out, and it's hilarious. This is funny.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was a long one, man. I think that it wasn't that bad actually.
No, how long was that?
35.
Oh, well, wow. We're good. We go.
Interesting.
One other thing, Olsen.
Okay.
A lot of backup quarterbacks won this week.
Mm.
A lot of backup. The Dallas Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush.
Yep, he gets it. Mike White of the Jets.
Mike White.
Now we have the White Knight. We have a quarterback controversy.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
The Jets get a win with Mike White, and Trevor Siemian comes in for New Orleans and wins.
Mm.
Which one impressed you the most?
Oh, that's easy. The Jets.
Really?
Come on.
Okay, tell me why.
Let's be serious here.
Okay.
Let's be serious
here. Okay, right? Okay. I didn't know where you were going to go either, anyway.
Let's be serious here. This guy was a fifth-round pick 3 years ago.
Yeah. Been on practice squad for like 2 years.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sat on the bench, just sat there,
right?
Biding his time, waiting for the opportunity.
Man, ready, though.
Put this man in the game.
Mm.
Can you imagine as a person? Because for some reason, right, we tend to not think of, you know, maybe players, or we tend to not think of them as people.
Right. We just
– oh, is this,
they're a uniform this, and a really, number.
That's it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, true.
But think about him as a person.
Okay.
Sitting there.
Yep.
Oh, they bring in this guy. Oh, they draft this guy. Oh, they do all this, and he's just there, right? Can you imagine what that does to your self-confidence?
True.
What that does to your worth as a person, as they're just telling you, without giving you a chance, you're not good enough, right? They're just bringing in more and more people. They bring in this guy, second pick in the draft, Zach Opono, who we all love.
Love him.
Showing off the flashy guns and all of that good stuff. He's struggling, right? Gets hurt. They put in this guy who's been on the bottom. And what does he do? What does he do?
He
400 and something yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions that bounced off his receiver's hands. This guy was fantastic.
Took what the defense gave him.
So I appreciate that type of stuff. I do.
Can I say something? And I've watched the tape, but I haven't dug super deep in it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen, and I wonder what you think about this. Is this a case of I got the number 2 pick, I'm going to show off his arm? And I say this because I watched this happen in Houston.
Yep.
What I saw in this game plan was, oh, man, the coordinator going, got the backup, let me scheme up the easy throws. You know, he wasn't taking chunk shots down the field, but he was taking what the defense gave him, right?
Yes.
What you're supposed to do.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You're supposed to do that. I feel like with Zach Wilson, it was, we got to show why we picked him. And I think I've seen it happen before. So much pressure to show off this shiny car that you just don't do the basics.
Mm.
And I wonder, when Zach comes back in, are they going to say, hey, we know what works. Let's try that with Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. Because I think the mentality shifts with a play caller.
Yep.
I think that pressure of, I'm supposed to show this guy off. We heard Kyle Pitts in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. When are they going to let him out? They did in London. Mm-hmm. And now look at him. Now, that might not be the way Arthur Smith, the coordinator, really wants to run his offense. But I got to showcase his talent. Mm-hmm. It's working. I wonder if you've seen that before. But I'm kind of thinking that
that's a very good point.
That game plan was mm-hmm. like, it was great. When you look at, this is why I think Sean Payton with Trevor Siemian was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, how Sean Payton just morphed this offense on the fly mm-hmm. to fitting his player skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that relationship with coach and player, play caller and playmaker, and how important that is, and how the best coaches are the ones we continue to talk about because they've been around so long, but they seem to do that.
That's an excellent point, man. I think you might be on to
something. I don't know. You know, it's something I've seen up close, but I don't know what I would do in that situation mm-hmm. with the pressure, right?
Yeah.
I got to show off OC, man. OC needs to have this many sacks because we drafted him this round and he's the guy. But then I'm exposing other things. I'm mm-hmm. putting holes in my defense because I'm trying to scheme things up mm-hmm. or whatever. I feel like that happens a lot.
Yeah. I think you might be correct. We've seen so many times where the guy who wasn't supposed to be the guy ends up just being the guy.
Maybe that's why it happens. Yeah. Maybe that's why it happens.
Yeah.
Man, the NFL never disappoints. I hate seeing some of the injuries. Derrick Henry, that's a big one. Jameis Winston.
He signed Adrian Peterson, though, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Adrian Peterson, I don't think he'll ever get old.
Yeah. Like, he's a workhorse.
I think that's
an ideal replacement.
He's going to be 70 years old with a six pack.
Yeah. He's one of those kind of guys.
He's that dude. Yeah. He's that dude. Like, you don't want to go to his house and date his daughter.
No.
Because you don't want that action.
Yeah, no.
He's going to come in.
Not interested.
He's going to be chiseled.
Yeah. Don't want to date his daughter or his son. Whatever floats your boats.
Equal opportunity employer. You don't want that because he's going to be buff forever.
Yeah.
Buff and strong.
Yeah.
Forever.
It's going to be looking like Vin Diesel and not Vin Diesel, Vin Grames and Baby Boy.
You remember Vin Grames?
Yeah.
In the kitchen. eating everything out your refrigerator.
Yeah.
What do you do? Just a grown man with his back out.
Incredible.
That is not a sight I wanted to see. Oh, man. The Jason and OC podcast. Yeah. The NFL never disappoints, and Vin Diesel and Baby Boy doesn't disappoint either. So
the NFL never disappoints.
Please watch us on Tuesday. Obviously, on Saturday also. We appreciate all the listeners, all the watchers, everything. And the NFL never disappoints. Nor does OC or his jacket he has on today. That is very fly.
Like that?
It is fly.
They didn't pay us, so.
No, we can't say the name. But I immediately recognized it when you came in.
Yeah.
And immediately my wallet disappeared deep down into my pocket.
Like,
it shriveled up.
Yeah.
It said no. Have you ever looked at your credit card and just, you don't even use a credit card. You probably use cash.
I've never owned a credit card in my entire life. It's the true story. I've never had a credit card.
You just pay everything in cash. You don't want no airline points or nothing.
It's like every week.
I didn't think you were gonna say that. I thought you were gonna be like, oh yeah, you know, I accumulate, you know, airline points or something Just nothing.
Never owned a. Never owned a credit card in my whole life.
I have been places with you where you don't. This man only has bank cards. Oh my gosh. That man, if it ain't cash,
debits. No credits.
How does your debit limit work so high? That's aggressive. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
This is what it is.
I love it. So I can't even make my point about throwing up at a credit
card
statement.
For the
a Oh, what you mean you don't got it today? Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, my God.
You don't have it today?
I'm
okay.
Kidding.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm kidding, man. Incredible.
We're out. I've just been delivered something. Mm. Breaking news. Remember the old school breaking news sound? Yeah. So imagine that's happening in your head. We are the number 66 podcast in Belgium.
In Belgium.
Because we want to know. Because we study
what?
Cultures. That's why. Boom. Belgium. Holla at y'all. Thank you very much. That is breaking news.
That's interesting. Belgium?
Belgium, do you take credit? Because OC ain't got it. All cash, baby. All cash. We out. Till next week.